Now, the purpose of the pulpit in any church is fourfold, besides to lead the people in the worship of the Lord. The purpose of the pulpit is to teach the Word of God, that believers might be edified, that they might be strengthened in the faith of Christ, and that they might be comforted in the things of the Lord. Secondly, the purpose of the pulpit is to administer the ordinances of Christ. And thirdly, the purpose of the pulpit is to evangelize, to preach the good news of redemption to men where they are and as they are, to those who've never heard the gospel of substitution. In the fourth place, the purpose of the pulpit, other than leading the people of God in the worship of the Lord, teaching the Word of God, administering the ordinances, evangelizing, is to reprove and to rebuke us. I'd like you to turn, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The purpose of the pulpit is to reprove and to rebuke the children of God. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul says, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Now let me read that to you in the Amplified Version. You get a lot of help from this. Paul says, "Timothy, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it be welcome or unwelcome. You are a preacher of the word. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them in long-suffering and patience." Now, the purpose of my message tonight is not just for you, but for me too. And it's to help us, and it's time we did this, and it's something we need to do regularly, to help us take inventory, to help us to re-evaluate, to help us to re-examine not our profession, not our doctrine, but our lives, our goals, our ministry, the direction that we're going right now, and the part that each one of us is playing in the purpose of God and toward the greater glory of Jesus Christ. Now, turn to John 5. This is a scripture I thought should fit in right here. John chapter 5, verse 23. Now listen to this carefully. What part I'm playing in the greater glory of the Son of God, in the accomplishment of His purpose. In John 5, 23, "That all men," Christ said, "should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him." You see how important what we're dealing with is this evening. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. What part am I playing? My life, my direction, my goals, my daily living. What part am I playing? What am I contributing to the accomplishment of the glory of Jesus Christ and the honor of Jesus Christ and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we spend time examining our profession, and we should. This is what I preached on was it last Sunday or the Sunday before, examining our profession, our relationship with the Lord. And that should be done. And that's a profitable undertaking. The Scripture tells us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, to give diligence, to make our calling and election sure. But that's not enough. And that's not where we'd stop. And I'm afraid some of us stop right there. Do I know I'm a sinner? Yes, I know I'm a sinner. My sins are ever before me, and we say that in sincerity and honesty. And my only hope is God's grace. My only hope is Christ's sacrifice. My only hope is that He's died for me, and I rest in that, and I trust in that. He's my refuge and my strength. And I believe the Bible, and I believe in Christ. Well, that's well and good, and that's necessary for our very being, but there's some more things necessary for our well-being. And that's not only an examination of our faith and our interest in Christ and our relationship with Christ, but an examination of what I'm doing and where I'm going right now in reference to Christ, in reference to eternity. We need to also spend some time examining our ministry. You say, I have no ministry. I beg your pardon. And that's one of the errors of this day, the ministry and what they call laymen. There ain't no such animal in the kingdom of God as a layman. We're all in the ministry. That's right. We're all in the ministry. Some preaching, some elders, some teachers, some deacons, some custodians, some cooks, some working to supply the needs, some praying, some just various gifts. The body of Christ is made up of many members. But everybody is in the body of Christ, and Christ ministers. Therefore, His body ministers, and we need to examine our place and our function in the body of Christ. Turn to Ephesians 4. Now, listen to this. And Ronnie, when I were talking this morning over a cup of coffee, and I think this is the scripture he read over here, Ephesians 4, the first 7 verses. Isn't that it, Ronnie? First 7, Ephesians 4. I think that's the one you read. But let's look at it. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You've got a vocation. You're called to that vocation, to walk in it. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's your job. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us, it doesn't say unto the pastor, unto the evangelist, unto the missionary, to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You've been given a gift of grace. You've been given a vocation. You've been given a calling. You've been given a ministry. We're going to see, turn to 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to see that the foundation has been laid. And that foundation is Christ. And every one of us are building on that foundation. We're building gold, silver, precious stone, or we're building wood, hay, and stubble. But we're all building. This preacher and every one of you, we're building on that foundation. There's not an idle son in the king's household. Now, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 3. This is the text. First of all, verse 11. The first concern of any building is the foundation. That's first concern. Eddie, that's first foundation. You better spend some time down there. Scripture talks about two men built some houses, and one of them built on the sand. He didn't bother about digging deep and finding a stone and a rock. He just built on the sand. Built his house quickly and cleverly, and the wind blew, and down it fell. But that other fellow dig deep, took his time, and he sought the rock, and finally found it. And he laid his foundation on that rock, and that house stood. And here's what it says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That is the foundation. He is the foundation. There is no church except that one which is built on Christ the Lord. Turn to Isaiah 28. Listen to this scripture. Isaiah 28, verse 16. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, never fails, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste." If only our doctrine brings us together, we meet in vain. If only our peculiarities bring us together, if only our so-called standards bring us together, if only our hope for heaven brings us together, we meet in vain. That's so. Because there's a whole lot of folks got a hope for heaven. But our Lord said, if two or three are met in my name, I'll be in their midst. That's what brings us together. His name, that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord, his name which includes all of his attributes and all of his character, his sovereign name. We come together in his name. There is no church except that church which is laid on Christ, built on Christ, submerged and baptized into Christ, of whom Christ is the head. That's the start. And there is no gospel except that gospel which is concerning his son. You turn to Romans chapter 1. And this is something, Bruce, that they ought to teach in every seminary and in every Bible school. And this is one of the things way back yonder, almost 30 years ago, 25 years, 27 years ago, one verse of Scripture. Throughout the Bible, God would send me a verse, and it was just like, as Spurgeon said, like Isaiah, where he said, "Look unto me." And he said it was like a curtain pulled back. And I saw the revelation of his person. And when I saw this, Paul said in verse 1 of Romans 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, the bond slave, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." The gospel of God. Now skip verse 2. It's in parenthesis. Lift it out. "Separated to the gospel of God concerning his son." That's what the gospel's concerning. It's not concerning what you do with his son. The gospel's concerning his son, whether you do anything or not. The gospel's not a proposition. The gospel is the declaration of a person and his work. There are a lot of folks today preaching about the gospel and not preaching the gospel because they're not preaching Christ. A lot of folks that are talking about the gospel and singing about the gospel, but they haven't begun to commence to get started to touch the gospel yet. You haven't preached the gospel till you preach Christ. Who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is. That's when you start preaching the gospel, when you start telling who he is, talking about him. Not talking about what people ought to do with him and do for him and do in serving him. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not even talking about his benefits. The gospel is a person. I wish I could make that clear. God has to make that clear. I can't. He has to reveal it. The gospel is a person. You can preach on heaven, not preach the gospel. That's right. Preach about hell, not preach the gospel. You've got to preach Christ, preach the gospel. Good news of a person. And there's no gospel except that gospel concerning his son. That's the foundation. That's where the work has to be done. And then thirdly, there's no salvation except that which rests in Christ alone. Look back at 1 Corinthians 1:30, right across the page there. "But of him are you in Christ Jesus." God put you there. He put you there in covenant mercy. He put you there by sovereign grace. He put you there by choice. Of God are you in Christ. You didn't get there by yourself. He put you there. But of him are you in Christ. That's how you got there. God gave you to Christ. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. God made him that pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell, and it pleased God that you should dwell in him. And he's everything I need. There's nothing I need that's not met in Christ. I grow in these things. I grow in wisdom. I'm progressively sanctified some of these things. I grow in his grace. But when I was born again, a babe in Christ, I had every faculty of my spiritual being right there. When a baby comes out of the womb, if it's got no right leg, it'll never have a right leg. If it's got no index finger, it'll never have an index finger. If it's got no ear on the right side of its head, it'll never have an ear there. That baby's born the way it's going to be. And when a child is born into the family of God, he's born sufficient to inherit to the inheritance of the saints in glory. But he grows. He grows. He's got love. He's got grace. He's got patience. He's got faith. He's got meekness. He's got it in the bud. Someday it'll be blooming. But he's got it. It's there. It's in Christ. Everything I need is in Christ. There's no Christian except that man who has Christ as his foundation. That's right. There's no Christian but the man who by covenant grace, by regenerating power, by saving faith, is in Christ Jesus. So that's where we start. No use anybody following me any further into this chapter if you can't stop at verse 11 and say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. He's my foundation. Now, preacher, you can go on from there because Christ is my foundation. All right? For the benefit of those who can take another step, let's look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, so we'll stop right there. If any man build, all right, to whom I was speaking, if any man build on this foundation, to whom I was speaking, well, I know this, and you preachers here know this. First of all, he's talking to ministers. That's what this chapter is all about, mainly, about ministers. Go back to verse 4. He said in verse 4, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos is watered, God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're laborers together, verse 9. According to the grace of God, I've laid the foundation. And he's talking about us building ministers of the gospel. But let me tell you this. Are we not speaking to every child of God? Does not every child of God have a ministry? Let me ask you this. The 13th Street Baptist Church, is this my ministry or ours? Guess how much ministry would I have without you? Is this my family or ours? Is this my work or ours? Is this my responsibility or ours? Well, you know the answer to that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. This is our ministry. This is our ministry. In 1 Corinthians 12, and I want you to look carefully at this because this is important to what we're going to say. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, because I'm not a preacher, I'm not of the body. Because I'm not a deacon, I'm not of the body. Because I'm not a song leader, I'm not of the body. Because I'm not a musician, I'm not of the body. Because I'm not a teacher, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? That's what I say. Where would I be without you? Where would you be without me? If everything was hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. It's his church, as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head to the feet, I don't need you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant order to that part which lacked, that there be no schisms, divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. It ought to be like a body. If I cut my hand, my whole body's sympathetic. My eyes weep and my stomach knots up and my feet tremble. One member of the body be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles and then prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts of healing, health, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Covet the best gift. But here's Sunday night's message. I'll show you the best way. Love one another. So over here in 1 Corinthians 3, we're not only talking to the minister. I hope God will deliver us from giving the Bible away. I know people that say Hebrews is for the Hebrew and Revelations are for the millennium and the book of Matthew is for the Jew and the book of Romans is for somebody else and all I got left is John 3:16. They just give the Bible away. And this is written to ministers. No, it's not. It's written to every believer. We're all building on the foundation Christ Jesus. If we're on the foundation, if we are in Christ, if we are building on Christ, every person here, we're all making some sort of contribution to life. We're all making some kind of contribution to one another. We're all making some kind of contribution to the general kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't teach. I don't preach. I don't pray in public. How am I making a contribution? Many ways. Attitude. General conversation. Your material gifts. Your cooperation. Your daily witness. Your faithfulness. Your general conduct in the home, in the church, on the job, around others. The person I am, the life I live, the daily existence I have, if I am a believer in Christ, all of this contributes to a spiritual work if I am a spiritual person. And all of this produces some sort of material in the kingdom of God. It makes some sort of contribution. It may be just a great big glorified mess, but it's a contribution. For there are no idle sons in the kingdom of God, in the household of our Lord. Now look at the next verse. Now the next line. Now if any man build, and we're building, you built some things today. You made a contribution today. I did too. Throughout this day, this week, I made some sort of contribution. If I'm in Christ, I'm not A person is not just saved and put over here on a shelf and God moves on around his business, someday comes and takes him home, you know. No, sir, he's in the kingdom of God. He's in the process of accomplishing God's purpose. He's used and he's in the body of Christ. I have no idle members in this body. Every idle member in this body is dead. Everything is growing in this body of mine. Everything is moving. Everything has life. Everything about from my head to my feet is making a contribution to either my well-being or my unhappiness. That's right. And every member of the body of Christ is making a daily contribution to the glory of God or to the shame. Either to the accomplishment of God's purpose or that which is detrimental to God's purpose. Either helping or hurting the body. But there are no dead members in the body. There are no idle members. There are no sleeping members. Now watch this. So let's go on. Now if any man build on this foundation, there are two classes of material. One is listed as gold, silver, precious stones. Now what do you think about gold, silver, and precious stones? One, well, it's valuable. 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 Secondly, enduring, lasting, that which continues on and on. Precious, precious stones, precious jewels. All right, what about the other? Wood, hay, stubble. Wood, hay, stubble. What do you think about that? Well, gold, silver, and precious stone is valuable. Wood, hay, and stubble. Not valuable. It's junk. It's the chaff which the wind bloweth away. Gold, silver, and precious stone, put it in the fire, it'll last. Hammer it with a hammer, it'll last. Put it under any kind of test, it'll last. The wood, hay, and stubble, stick a match to it. Gone. Nothing lasting about it. Temporary. No good. The wood, the gold, silver, and precious stones represent that which is valuable and lasting and glorifying to God. The wood, hay, and stubble represents the flesh. And every one of us is building on that foundation, either gold, silver, precious stone, valuable, lasting, spiritual contribution to the kingdom of God, or our lives are doing nothing in the world but producing that which will be destroyed, wood, hay, and stubble. All right, take the next verse now. And every man, woman, boy, and girl, every believer's work is going to be revealed, going to be manifest. For the day shall declare it. What day are we talking about here? Well, most people think we're talking about the day of judgment. And maybe so. But I don't think we're going to have to wait that long. Unless I have a heart attack right now and I'm not able to evaluate my contribution. But I'm old enough already to have been doing some evaluating. I'm old enough already. The day's already come, I believe. Now that day is coming, the day of our Lord, the day of judgment, the day of divine examination. But I believe a Christian, a believer, a true believer, I believe he has a day of realization. I believe the Christian has a day that he knows himself whether or not contribution he's made to the glory of God has been lasting and valuable and spiritual, or all in the world he's given his time and life to has been nothing but chaff and stubble and hay and fit for the fire. Listen here. He says the fire, it shall be revealed by fire. Well, that may be divine examination, but I believe it's the fire of time. Now, I'm not denying the judgment and the fire of divine wrath and when we shall know as we are known. But as I grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that I'm enduring some fiery trials now that are revealing some things to me. Thought about a little illustration this morning. Two old men, older than me and you, Cecil. Two old men. Let's make them 90 years old. Okay, 2 years older than you, Cecil. Okay, two old men are sitting on the front porch of a rest home. Two old men. Life's over. It's gone. They're just sitting there. They're sitting there, both of them alone, both of them deserted, both of them awaiting God's call. Now, you think about this a minute. One of them speaks up. Well, he says, I've made a lot of money in my day. I've gone through a fortune. The other says, where is it now? It's all gone. And I had a lovely wife and several fine children. Where are they? He dead. Where are kids? Don't have the faintest idea. I was a popular man. I was a popular man. I was captain of a football team, and then I ran for this office and that office and got elected. I knew everybody that was anybody. I could walk down the street and everybody would speak to me. They knew my name. What about now? Forgotten. I had a home. It was the finest home in the community. I owned a farm, land, had cattle. Don't even own the chair I'm sitting in now. I was educated. I graduated from the finest university. I knew I could talk to you on any subject. Can't remember yesterday now. I had the latest car. I didn't walk anywhere, and now I can't walk anywhere. I had a responsible job. And since I retired, this two or three fellows have held it and done a better job. I headed many community projects. I've been replaced now, and they've been replaced by new projects. I look over my whole life. And you know what it amounts to? Wood, hay, stubble. That's right. But what about you, old friend? Well, the other man says, by God's grace, I had a part in building a church where the gospel was preached. And I faithfully attended and supported that church, and I believe many people came to know the Lord. And by God's grace, when He calls me home, I'm going to meet every one of them. I made some contribution, I believe, to their coming to know the Savior. I had a part in a missionary effort all over the world. Oh, we bought Bibles and we sent missionaries and we had schools and we saw many rebels come to know the Savior. And I helped support native preachers to learn the gospel, and they're still preaching the gospel. And I lived far and I talked about the Savior. I had an imperfect witness as it was, but men knew where I stood and they knew what I believed. I never did have a whole lot of this world's good, but I had a knowledge of Christ, and I believe God used that witness, which I witnessed for Him, for His glory. And old friend, I believe I don't have anything now. I'm just like you. I don't have anything here, but I've got a treasure where moth and rust does not corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal. Now you turn to Matthew 6. And let's look at that. What Cecil read in the study a few minutes ago. In Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, wood, hay, and stubble, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And I want myself and you too. I want to look at my life. And I'm not talking about your money. God's blessed you, and many of you are good givers, and this church is blessed. And I don't preach that way, and you know it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about go over my life and your life. Let's just look at our lives, what we've done today and what we've done this week and what we've done this year. How much of it could you say is wood, hay, and stuff? You know what you'll find out? As I find out, most of it. Most of it. How much of it would you say is gold? and silver and precious stones. How much of what we give our lives to, you ladies, if you could make a contribution to some dear old lady or some orphan child or some missionary on the field, if one of these missionary ladies down there that live so lonely down there in Mexico or over there in Spain or France or Ireland or somewhere, and you just sat down and wrote them a letter and said, I'm thinking about you and praying for you, and our church rejoices that you are where you are and that you're witnessing for our Lord and you're not alone, and you mail it, and that missionary wife gets that and tears come in her eyes and it just thrills her heart, and she's able to serve the Lord more gloriously that day and more in a more happy way. Gold, silver, and precious stone. But what do you do? What do I do? Well, we make ourselves a dress, or we make ourselves a pie, or we clean our house, or we do this for our husband or our children. It's a selfish vocation in which we occupy. And what are we doing to contribute to happiness, to knowledge of Christ, to somebody's joy, to the glory of Christ? You see what I'm saying? But in its typical, we get in this routine of living in a sort of a cocoon of our own. We're surrounded by our efforts and our needs and our bodies and our families and everything pertaining to ourselves. And we're just building a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. We're building a bigger house, driving a finer car, getting a bigger bank account. We're getting a larger family. We're doing this for one another, for ourselves and for our families. And we're just building a great big old mansion of wood, hay, and stubble that one of these days is just going to be swept right out from under us. And we're going to be standing there naked, having made no contribution whatsoever to Christ's glory, or to the happiness of anyone else. Now, and that's what I'm talking about. And that's what Paul's talking about over here. And he's talking to ministers and talking to every one of us. If any man build, and that's what we're doing, building. I'm not saying these things have to be done. I know that. I know you men have got to go out to work. You've got to do your job. But you can do your job in such a way as to make a contribution to somebody's well-being, somebody's happiness, somebody's spiritual welfare, the kingdom of God, by attitude. You'd be surprised, as you're working, your attitude reflects your relationship with Christ. As people talk to you and how you reply, as how you do your job, we do our job not as servants of men, but as unto the Lord. I believe a man sweeps the floor ought to sweep the floor like he's sweeping it for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe a person down in where you work, I believe a person working on your line ought to work not as if you were his boss, but Jesus Christ was his boss. I do. I think Mike gets up here to sing, he ought to sing as if he's singing for the Son of God himself, the best he can. And anything less than that is no good. We're building. Now this is the truth. What I'm saying is the truth. Look at verse 14. Now, if any man's work abides, if we can examine our lives in this day of personal examination, my attitude and my relationship and my contribution, wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. I know, you know, we're nobody's fool. We don't have to wait till judgment to find out whether or not we have brought any glory to Christ at all, or we made any contribution. I tell you, your presence here helps me preach. Your prayers help me preach. Your attitude, How you receive the word, help me preach to somebody else. Some stranger comes in, and because of the fellowship in this church, I'm enabled to preach better. That's a contribution. If any man's work abide, when it's been examined, any man's work abide which he hath built, he shall receive a reward. Now, brethren, let's don't tie this in with some kind of future crown sitting on my head with some extra diamonds in it because I did a little more than somebody else. You know better than that. Let's find out what it is. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at this a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What use will I have for a gold crown in glory? What use would I have for stars in my crown? We just got materialistic and it carried over into our spiritual life. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Listen to Paul. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? You are our glory and our joy. I tell you, if we can come to the place where we can, like you looked at those slides last night, you saw that truck sitting down in Mexico, and you can say, I helped send that down there. That's my joy. You see old Rutilio and Franklin and Jose and all these other fellas, you know, that God saved. That school, those 25 preachers, you know who feeds them every month? You saw that stuff they're mixing up to eat? This church bought that. You bought it. Those books in their hands, you bought them. Their bus fare going back to the Pueblo, you paid it. The missionary standing there who's able to stay down and preach to them, you make possible. That's gold, silver, and precious stone. And they'll be here when Jesus comes. And all this other junk that we've got, all this other hobbies and all these other things, you know, that we gratify ourselves, maybe it helps us relax to some, and that's good. We need that too. But the general direction and tenor of our lives ought to be making some sort of contribution to the spiritual well-being of some believer and the glory of our Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1. I mean, let me show you another verse on this verse. Paul said, you are my joy. That's my joy. That's my joy. God let me have a part in his kingdom. That's my joy. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, our rejoicing is this. 2 Corinthians 1, 12. Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you would, for we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge, and I trust you even acknowledge, you shall acknowledge even to the end, as also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you are our rejoicing in the day of our Lord. That's what's going to be. You are our rejoicing, and we are your rejoicing in the day of our Lord. That God was pleased in some way to use us. Whatever way it is, I don't care what it is, if it's Cecil, if it's making this place more beautiful, in which his people can worship. That's a contribution. If it's playing these instruments, Martha and Blessed Art does such a great job. Mike, Carly, Ronnie, if it's just standing up here and the people of God have come, and somebody, Ronnie's come with a heavy heart, and you, by God's leadership, pick out a song that's able to lift that burden and say, join with me. Would you join with me? Let's sing. Let's praise the Lord. And that person joins with you and praises the Lord. That's worth all this week that I've done for myself. If I've been able, and somebody of you men stand to pray, and some heavy, broken heart there is listening and praying with you, and they're lifted with you, that's contribution. That's gold, silver, and precious stone. But it's good for us. It's good for me to just reevaluate and reexamine my wood, hay, and my stubble. That which is just going to be blown away by the breath of his wrath. And it's all going to go. Everything we've got is going to go. Just well to write it off now because it's gone. But there's some things that are going to last. And that's what we better be building on. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thy word is a comfort, but thy word convicts us. And thy word, O Lord, gives us assurance and confidence in Christ, for we have no other hope, no other foundation than Christ our Lord. But thy word does reprove and rebuke us. And forgive us, our Father, when we get our eyes and our hearts and our minds set on these things that the Gentiles and the heathen seek after, what we shall eat and what we shall drink and what we shall wear, instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, trying to be a blessing, trying to so order our lives and our conduct and our conversation that we might lift somebody's load and be a blessing and make Christ known. I use this message.